Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Monday, December 4th, 2017. That's right. Day one of Raider Week. Can you believe it? You can cut the tension with a knife. Nope. How about the anticipation? No? All right.
First place in the West on the line.
There you go. Except San Diego's going to probably win it, but whatever.
Yep.
Or Los Angeles or California or just the Chargers, whatever.
Temporarily, though, first place in the West will be on the line.
Right now we have Sam Mellinger on the line from New York. Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star. Hello.
This is great. Like halfway through the first show, you guys are always just already in just full sarcasm mode.
Nope.
I'm loving it.
No. Yeah, you think it took him 2 hours to get
there? Yeah, we didn't need to build up to it this time.
No, 30 seconds.
6:01, they were in that mode.
Do you think that the Chiefs should accept the bid to the Belk Bowl to play Wake Forest or not?
They are bowl eligible. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
6-6, baby.
They beat them, I think. You know. Do you, let's start with Marcus Peters. Are you wearing socks right now, by the way?
I'm not.
Okay, well, actually, see, yeah, in support outrageous. Of Marcus Peters, yeah. Here is Sam Mellinger.
Disrespectful.
What
give us
the full rundown of what you thought of that. Just everything from, because that's really where the game turned. Everything from Benny Logan's penalty that gave the Jets an opportunity to score a touchdown to Steven Nelson holding wide receivers in plain view of the refs to give the Jets multiple opportunities at a 2-point conversion. To Marcus Peters firing a flag into the crowd and then leaving the field even though he wasn't ejected. And then apparently Steven Nelson tried to get him to stay. And the one time that Steven Nelson should have actually held somebody, he didn't hold Marcus Peters. He let him go. Because if anyone could have held him and kept him from going into the locker room, it could have been Steven Nelson. What say you, Sam Mellinger?
Yeah, if we've seen an ending like that once, we've seen it a million times, right?
Right.
About Marcus, he lost his mind. He absolutely just, like, lost his freaking mind. And which, you know, is in the scouting report, right? That is something that he does. It's something that he's done in the past. I'm sure it's something that he'll do. Again, I guess there's two basic things to say about it. One, like, just you can't do that. Like, I mean, it's just a fundamental, you know, it reminds me of last year. When Andy Reid's getting in front of the podium, he's like, look, you know, you can't punt the ball into the stands. We know that. We got to move on. You just can't do it. But two, it had no effect on the game, on the outcome.
Right.
You know, zero. So, you know, on the list of things wrong with the Chiefs, Marcus Peters throwing a flag into the stands is like, you know, a really cool, like, fun highlight, a funny highlight. I laughed. But it's not the reason they lost at all.
What about Benny Logan's penalty?
That was huge. I think that was like, if you had to just pick one play, I think that's it. Because if you just give up the field goal there, I think that ball was snapped with 3:58 left. I might be getting confused with another play, but I think it was 3:58. You give up a field goal there, you give up the lead, but the way that offense was going, you know, I would have bet a lot of money that they could get at least a field goal, you know, and Harrison Butker, I know he missed one earlier in the game, but you feel good, with him on the ball. You feel like that's going to work. I mean, I feel like that's an 80%, you know, win at that point.
Yeah.
And, you know, on the penalty, I talked to him after the game and he seemed like genuinely confused. Like, I mean, he said it's a play that they had run on the Jets' previous field goal attempt. And, you know, it's a backside A gap and you're trying to do a little stunt and trick this long snapper and get a little bit of a push. He said he did it the field goal before. I wasn't watching him on that field goal. He said they've done it in the past and nothing. Andy Reid, after the game, I asked him if he had an explanation. He said that the refs told him that the snapper was struck in the head. I didn't see him struck in the head. Maybe I need to watch that again, you know, to see. I did not see the snapper struck in the head. But either way, that to me was the absolute killer. That brought down basically two more minutes off the clock and two timeouts. Chiefs had to use two more timeouts there, and you gave up a touchdown. You know, if you can still get it to a field goal, I think same thing. I think the Chiefs can win. But that to me was the single, you know, that was the one play that swung that outcome more than any other.
And they did run a play. I went back and watched the field goals because I was curious. You know, it's not a penalty we're used to seeing. So I went back and watched, and they did run a similar play before that. And it made me wonder, did the Jets go to the refs and say, hey, you know, our guys, our snappers getting hit in the face or whatever, so the refs are watching out for it. I don't know. I'm going to be maybe a complete outlier here, but there's a part of me that kind of gets Marcus Peters' deal. I'm not saying it's all right. Like you said, I mean, if you get yourself in a situation where you think you've ejected yourself from the game, then you've crossed the line. You're not helping the team. But I feel like he was almost speaking for all Chiefs fans when he threw that flag into the stands. Yeah. Not just that it's all the refs' fault, but just, are you freaking kidding me? Like, we're going to, this is happening, like, after the Raiders game, after everything that's happened, we're going to, I mean, if anything, maybe he should have thrown the flag at Steven Nelson instead of into the stands. But just like, I felt like in some ways he was just like, I'll say this. I heard a lot of people in the post game yesterday talking about how selfish Marcus Peters is and he only cares about himself. He doesn't care about the team. I'm like, that flag wasn't on him.
Yeah.
He lost his mind because he knew that the team was about to screw themselves out of a game or the refs were going to screw them out of a game. However he was looking at it, that's why he lost his mind. And I'm not excusing it, but I kind of felt like I knew how he felt when he was doing it.
Yeah, there's a big disconnect, right? Like, I think, you know, for reasons that go way beyond throwing the flag, but there's a really big disconnect between Marcus Peters and I think a large, but if not large, certainly a vocal contingent of Chiefs fans. And so I do think that Marcus Peters throwing that flag is going to be, you know, taken in a different way than, and I literally cannot imagine this happening, but like Ron Parker throwing the flag or
right.
Daniel Sorensen throwing the flag or Steven Nelson or whatever. So, I mean, there is that. But I do think you're right. And the one thing that I'll say about Marcus too is, he's not selfish. Like, I hear that a lot. And I mean, he's just not. I mean, he's selfish in the sense that all he cares about is football and Oakland and his teammates. Like, he literally, like, that's kind of it for him. That's his world. But, you know, he's not the guy that is happy if he gets a pick six and they lose. You know, like, that's not him. He is the guy that just, I mean, just fundamentally loses his mind at times. And I mean, we've seen it over and over on the field. And I mean, he's different. And, you know, that's certainly not an excuse. That's, you know, a thing that you have to worry about. And this point's going to come up, you know, in the next year or so. But when you start negotiating a contract with him, and if he hits free agency, the teams that are bidding for him, they're going to have to consider the fact that Marcus Peters is going to lose his mind at times. And, you know, so far, unless I'm forgetting something, it hasn't really hurt them fundamentally on the field yet, right? Like the punt, he got away with one of the punts. The other one was a 5-yard delay game. They ended up getting the first down that they needed anyway. I mean, you tell me, maybe I'm forgetting one. Maybe the costly one, I remember. Remember when they're at Houston and he just sort of wagged his finger at DeAndre Hopkins or whoever that was, and they gave him a 15-yard penalty, which was a complete BS penalty. I think that one might have hurt him, actually, but I can't, you know, that's not. that's a pretty soft penalty. So, I don't know. I don't think he's selfish at all. I actually think that if you polled that room, you know, I think Marcus would get a lot of votes as a pretty good teammate. I really do believe that. But that was just an absolutely inexcusable, blank-brained,
right?
You know, you fundamentally cannot do that. Because the reason that, like, look, I think this is true. I think we'd all agree on this. The reason he threw the flag into the stands was not because he didn't think it would hurt the team.
Right.
You know, I mean, like that did not go into his calculus there.
And I would imagine that most Chiefs fans that criticize Marcus Peters would say that his inability to tackle anyone moving with a football would hurt the team more than any penalties.
That is a fundamental problem that, with the team, for sure.
That perhaps,
but now he's got company. Darrell Revis can't tackle either.
Right. And Darrell Revis hasn't played football this year and looked like it. And so then he stood on the sideline with no helmet on for the second half. So overall, now this team is 6-6. So are the Raiders. So are the Chargers. Those are the next two teams that the Chiefs play, both at Arrowhead Stadium. Based on what you saw yesterday, clearly a step forward for the offense. That was good enough to win. I'm going to be consistent. If I say that no matter what happened, and holding a team to 9 points in regulation is good enough to win, or holding the Bills to 16 points is good enough to win, then scoring 31 against the Jets sure as hell should be good enough to win. So what in the hell happened to the defense yesterday after they appeared to be taking some steps forward the past couple of games?
Nothing happened for them. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't do anything right. They missed way too many basic tackles. We were just talking about Marcus Peters and Darrell Revis, but it wasn't just them. I remember a third down. Man, there were a lot of third downs. But I remember one where it's just kind of sad. I mean, you know, there was not a blocker. Josh McCown was scrambling. There was not a blocker. And Derek Johnson was there, and he should have had him. And he was just too slow to the point. And Josh McCown got to the part of the field they needed to get to before Derek Johnson did. It was just there was just a lot of that. The defensive line, you know, if you took one, you know, if you just divided it up by position group, I'm not sure that the defensive line hasn't been the most disappointing position group on the team this season. And maybe that's me. I really thought that was going to be one of the better groups in the NFL. I thought Chris Jones was going to be a star this year. I really did. I thought Alan Bailey was going to take a step. I thought they had some guys that were going to, you know, consistently get some push in the pocket, and they got nothing. Justin Houston got nothing. And there were times, I think maybe his knee or calf or whatever is starting to bug him again. There were times where Josh McCown was dropping back, and he had to worry about K-Pass coming on one side and Frank Zombo on the other. And that is not a situation that a quarterback, that, you know, that strikes fear in a quarterback. Like, I don't know where the guys making plays on the ball in the secondary. You know, like, it just, they didn't do anything. Like, I mean, it's not like the last 2 weeks when you just look at it and say, you know, if Alex Smith even plays average or even slightly below average, the Chiefs win that game. There's not one person on that defense that you can say, you know, to pin the blame on this one. They just collectively, I mean, literally, I don't remember Marcus giving up a lot of big plays. I'm sure he probably did, but I'm just trying to think of one defensive player that I thought played well yesterday. And, you know, Reggie Ragland has been pretty bankable, right? Like, he's played pretty well. I didn't think he played very well yesterday. That was just a really, really bad effort, especially like when you grade on the curve, right? Like, if you play, you know, the Raiders, they gave up 31, right, to the Raiders. You know, the Raiders have some guys, you know, and even though they had receivers running to the same spot on the field and they were still completing passes and all that, you know, the Raiders are talented. This is the Jets. You know, that team was 4-7. That team had lost 5 of its last 6. That team has Josh McCown. You know, Robbie Anderson can play. He's a pretty good receiver. But other than that, they got nothing on that offense, and they just carved him up. That the worst game, I think, by far from the defense this year.
What was the most memorable play that Justin Houston made yesterday for you?
Stop it.
I mean, because that's inexcusable.
He did have a tackle
Did he?
I think in the box score, I think it was him.
Not according to ESPN.com's box score. He got credited with one QB hit, but no tackles.
Oh, maybe that's what it was.
Are you sure it's a hit or a hurry?
It says hit. That's what they say.
Okay.
I remember
on that play with the Peters flag, Houston had put him under pressure.
You don't have Tamba Lee. You don't have D Ford. You do have Justin Houston. And when you make that much money, you will be, just like Alex Smith, you will be judged based on what you are supposed to be for a football team. And in a game where the Jets just moved up and down the field with no resistance, where is Justin Houston?
The thing that makes it even worse, if you want me to make it even worse, is just not just thinking about the money, you know, that could be spent on players who are being productive, but we've seen, like, I mean, just think about that Philly game. And, you know, I keep using this adjective, and it's really the only one I can think of. Like, he was a damn superhero in that game. He wrecked everything that Philadelphia tried to do. And we were just talking about the defensive line. The defensive line was doing that too. It's just, and Philadelphia, and not just because now they're 10-1 or whatever their record is now, you know, is just a much better team than the Jets. You know, more to the point here, much better up front. You know, they've got a really good offensive line, and the Chiefs just wrecked them in that game at Arrowhead. And you just think about that, and now they're playing the Jets, who do not have, you know, one of the best offensive lines in football. And it's just, it's nothing. It's like they're allergic to pressure. I don't, you know, just, I just, this is my default, and I haven't watched the game again yet. But I just, when Justin Houston is that ineffective, I assume that he's hurt. I assume that his knee is hurt, which, you know, is not an excuse. That's an indictment, because you've got a guy in a $100 million contract or whatever it is that, you know, you have no idea if you're going to be healthy week to week.
During this recent tailspin, in the last four games, all losses to Dallas, the Giants, Buffalo, and the Jets, he has one sack in those four games.
Yeah.
One sack.
And I think that's pretty close to the team total in those games. You know, they haven't gotten any pressure at all. And the other thing I think about with Justin Houston, too, is I remember after the Denver game when they won, and he was standing in front of his locker, and, you know, he was talking about how important it was to get that win, because if you remember, they had just lost two in a row. And I don't have the quote right in front of me, but he basically said, when you lose two in a row, you got to get that next one, because you know the third one's going to be a dagger. You know, it's going to, you know, basically mess with your mind, and you know, it's going to put you on a bad spot real quick. Well, you know, now they just lost their fourth game in a row. They just had two straight two-game losing streaks.
Sam Mellinger live from New York. Sam, can you do one more segment, please?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you very much. That is Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's rejoin Sam Mellinger live from New York. Sam Mellinger with the Kansas City Star. You can follow him on Twitter. Mellinger is his Twitter handle. And Sam, you had a tweet yesterday that I wanted to reference. Again, I mentioned that Justin Houston was out there, but boy, did nothing yesterday. And then D Ford continues to be out with a back injury that won't go away, and we don't know what it is. Who knows? Maybe he's never coming back, at least this year. But also the curious case of Tamba Ali, and you tweeted, Tamba Ali is one of my favorite athletes, so this makes me sad. Complains about playing time, sits first eight games, plays 23 snaps, out 2 weeks, plays 13 snaps, out the next week. And that, you know, having been up there when he had his somewhat bizarre press conference at training camp, and then he disappeared for a couple of months, then he comes back, and then he's gone. You're starting to see some reasons why John Dorsey was let go. If you didn't understand why before, some of the contracts that have been given out, and like this Tamba thing, I don't know how you could call it anything but a disaster. And right now, again, they have to have Frank Zombo out there playing almost 80 snaps. Because they don't have anyone else, and they're not available. And this team, and it's an issue because Chris Jones really has disappeared as far as being a pass rusher. He hasn't had a sack in well over a month. Justin Houston has one sack in the last month. That's the biggest problem right now that they can't overcome. They cannot put any pressure on the quarterback. It just doesn't happen consistently, and so it's kind of ridiculous to even think it can happen. They cannot put any pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, and you know, it's been like sort of fashionable. It's not the right word, but you know, ripping Bob Sutton has been, you know, like a popular, it's been an easy applause line in Kansas City, right? And he certainly wears his share of the blame. But a lot of this too, and I actually thought yesterday was maybe the worst that he's done, but a lot of this too is just fundamental, like execution stuff, on the players. And, you mentioned Dorsey, and I actually do believe, that the biggest difference, and look, like, you know, Brett Veach worked for John, right? And, you know, as part of the front office, they did all those things, right? But I do think that the biggest difference between Brett and John will be, I don't think in a million years Brett does the Tampa contract. I don't think in a million years Brett would have redone Jamal Charles. I think he would have dumped him, before John did. I think that Brett is going to, you know, maybe miss out on a year, maybe even two, of productivity from a player in exchange for, you know, cheaper, younger, and the chance that you're letting go of them at the same time. I mean, the Tampa contract, and, you know, if we go back and do like an honest, you know, sort of assessment of it, part of that was Justin Houston's knee, you know, and sort of that bizarre thing where it was like a 2-year recovery from an ACL, which doctors say is normal, but when you follow football, it sure doesn't seem normal. It doesn't seem like you see a lot of guys, you know, basically miss 2 years from an ACL injury. So, look, I mean, look, you cannot, like, you know, there's a lot of places to blame, you know, and if you have your pet narrative that, you know, that the whole thing is Alex Smith's fault, then, you know, they had the ball on their racket at the end with a chance to win, same as they have a few times, you know, during this bad streak.
Third straight game, they've had that.
Yeah. If your thing is Bob Sutton, you know, you've got ample, you know, ammunition. If your thing is, you know, John Dorsey and these crap contracts that he gave out, then you can do that too. You know, there are many correct answers, you know, and few wrong answers right now. But, you know, I'm still, I don't know if I should be used to this by now, but I'm just still a little bit stunned that, you know, these are the same human beings that were 5-0 and 6-2, you know, like fundamentally, these are the same human beings that go home to the same houses and drive the same cars and make the same jokes and all that. And now they just look completely lost. They look closer to the mess that Andy Reid and John, you know, that this whole group inherited from Scott Pioli. Like, it looks much closer to that than it does to anything you got to have any faith, you know, winning a playoff game right now.
And look, the big story before the game yesterday was Andy Reid supposedly giving up play calling duties to Matt Nagy. And so what did that mean? Why the timing of it, leaking it before the game starts? What do you take away from that?
That was weird. Yeah, it wasn't strange that, you know, that he did it. He did something similar with Peterson, you know, what was that, 2 years ago? I think he did something similar even with Brad Childress in the past. And it wasn't, the way that got reported initially was sort of like, you know, Andy Reid benched himself. Andy Reid is not going to, you know, have anything to do with play calling. Like, that's sort of the tone of those initial tweets, I guess. And that's not what happened. You know, there was a little bit more give and take, but Andy is still Andy's show, you know, and Therese had that report about, you know, Andy's still doing the installs and, you know, Andy's still overseeing everything, but, you know, basically oversimplifying, Matt Nagy just has a little bit more say, you know, a little bit more input on specific play calls. I didn't think that was, you know, fundamentally a huge thing, just because, again, Andy's done that in the past. This is sort of his move when he gets in a slump. You know, if he trusts the people around him, he lets them have a little bit more say. I actually think that's a really the strong move. That's a boss move. That's, you know, sort of what you want, you know, in a leader. It helped, you know, I mean, you know, especially early, that thing was flying in a way that it hasn't since, you know, God, before the bye and, you know, before the Dallas game, and some of these losses are starting to, you know, run together. So, you know, look, like I think Andy Reid is not done well enough in his job. And, you know, he's a huge part of that blame too. Because, you know, not just, they didn't look uninspired to me today. They looked uninspired against Dallas. They looked uninspired against the Giants. They looked uninspired against the Bills. That is a head coach. That is, you know, you look at the head coach for that. They did not look like that to me against the Jets. They did look like a mess though. You know, the Marcus Peters throwing a flag thing, you know, Andy, you know, needs to answer for that in some ways. You know, all the penalties at the end, Andy needs to answer for that in some ways. I mean, look, like, I know it's more fun. It's easier the last 2 weeks when it was just like, man, the quarterback sucks, and we need to have a conversation about that. So that's easier. But now, you know, I think we're being reminded that for a long time, for most of this season, we've been talking about how bad the defense was. You know, we're being reminded that this team's got a lot of issues.
Who gets the credit for the Cam Irvin play call?
I don't know. I think, you know, Andy will put a hand on each side of that lectern and say that's on the head coach and that starts with me. But who knows, man? Like, what a weird – it's not just that their trick plays haven't been working. And I actually like the trick plays. You know, like, we were all – on board when it was the shovel pass against the Eagles and Travis Kelce's jumping from the 5 yard line into the end zone, you know, that kind of thing. But when they don't work, they really do look stupid. But part of the problem now is it's at weird times, like, you know, third and maybe a yard and you're sending your backup lineman out into the field. And look, Cam Irving, like, you know, and again, Therese made this point last night, like, that may be his position. You know, he maybe should be a tight end if he can catch the ball. But in that position, like, you're asking a guy to do, but I know that they practice this play, but you're asking a guy to do something that he's fundamentally not supposed to do in pressure, a covered throw. He's kind of twisting around. It's just, you know, coaches are supposed to put players in positions to succeed, right? And that was putting Cam Irving in a position to fail.
I don't know what I like more, the fact that they called the play or the fact that it surprised no one and he was actually double covered.
Right. Right. Well, Travis Kelce didn't throw any passes into the wind today.
See?
Step in the right direction.
You know what? Progress is what I call it, Sam Mellinger.
There you go.
Sam, please have a safe trip back to Kansas City, and thank you so much for your time.
All right, guys. I enjoyed it. The game yesterday was it was more entertaining than the last 2 weeks, right? But you always lift me up on a Monday. I appreciate it.
The game was wildly entertaining, except for the ending, Sam. Thank you so much. And you know what? You help us, too. How about that?
All right. Thanks, guys. I'll see you soon.
All right, Sammy. We'll see you when you get back to Kansas City. We'll take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.